I'm glad you're here this morning. I am thankful that you are here. And I am really thankful that you who have been sick are back with us. You have been missed. And I am thankful to be able to see you this morning. We've been talking about this new year in our Wednesday night class, and I think it's appropriate for us to talk about some personal challenges that we may face in 2024. You know, we don't know what tomorrow, in fact, we don't know what the next minute's going to bring, do we? Just as we was talking in Bible class about the fact that David always inquired of God, but Saul very seldomly, or only when he was in deep trouble, did he look to God for assistance. And I think it's really something we need to think about. We're going to face some challenges this year, I have no doubt. We are on the outs with the news media and a lot of other people. And so we have this new year, this fresh new year. So what are we going to make of this new year? What will it bring for us? It is for the most part up to us. Us individually, what we make of it the best we can. What do you plan to do with the time that God has allotted you? Today, at this time, I want to share with you some personal challenges that I have for 2024. First, I want to consider God and His will in every decision that I make. I want to be like David. I want to consult God on every decision. I want Jesus, not me. By the way, Tony, I really appreciate the songs this morning. Very applicable. Words to think about as we were singing praises to our God. You see, we are to take God into consideration when we make plans. That was the point of James 4 in verses 13 through 17, isn't it? When you look over there at James 4 and you begin at verse 13, "Now come you who say tomorrow or today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." How do you know that? That's the point James is making, isn't it? How do you know that even tomorrow you're going to be alive to do that? We need to say, "If God wills." I focused on that a lot more here in my latter years than I did at the beginning. And I think because I realized that tomorrow may be the last. We just simply don't know what tomorrow will hold. See, we're not to be men pleasers, but God pleasers. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 6, Paul writes, "Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." That's the kind of individual. That's the person that I want to be. That's the person that I want you to be in this year. I want my example to influence you in being that kind of a person. But I want God and His church to always take priority in my personal and family life. I know that I've told you a number of times that when my family gets together for holidays, we sit around the table and after eating or even while we're eating, we're discussing spiritual things. I want that to be a part of your life as well. And I want to continue to have that as a part of my life. God's kingdom and His righteousness must be first place in my life. Matthew 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." I will see you that you are instructed. I want to see that you are instructed in the right and the good way. In fact, that's what Samuel says to Israel after he has appointed Saul king. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24, he reminds them of a number of things that they have failed to do. And we can all put ourselves in their position because we all have failed in some way at some time in doing what we should have done. And he says to them in verse 24, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." I want to be sure that I'm praying for you. That's going to be a part of my life this year, whatever part of this world and this time that I have. I want to be praying for you. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. I want to do that too. I think we've been doing that. But I want to be sure that I've been doing that and that we here in this congregation are doing that very thing. Instructing everyone in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. Yeah. What great things our God has done for us. And we so often are so indifferent toward our God. We need to go to the mountain. We need to go to the mountain. We need to stand there with Israel as God is raining fire on that mountain. We need to feel the earth tremble under our feet as our legs are quaking. Because we've been indifferent. You can't be indifferent at the mountain. You can't be indifferent at the mountain. God is great. And He does great things. Oh, I want to be sure that He is a priority in my life this year. I intend to bear fruit for Christ this year. I want to be a fruit bearer. Look at John 15. That's the focus of what Jesus says here in John 15, isn't it? Yeah. He is the vine. We are the branches. Notice there beginning at verse 8, 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. I want to be sure that I'm abiding in Jesus so that I can bear fruit. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't want you to be in that category, in that place. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, that's why it's so important to guide you in the right and good way, to teach the scriptures to you. Whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I want to prove that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to prove in your life this year that you are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are joined to Christ so that we can bear fruit for God. In Romans 7 and verse 4, Paul writes, "Therefore, my brethren, you are also made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." All of that I do is for God. And if it's not for God, then I need to do something else. I need to change. You see, Paul prayed for the Colossians that they would grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding so that they would live righteously or rightly before the Lord and bear fruit in Colossians 1. And verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." I want you to just think about what this passage says. Think about what it means to the disciple of Jesus Christ to be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding so that I can walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that I have been called by. To the Lord, worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every respect or in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. I will make this a part of my prayers for you this year. Maybe we should be make bearing fruit a part of our public prayers. It would remind us of the work that we need to be doing. It is not an individual thing only. We as a congregation need to be bearing fruit for the Lord, but we need to do it individually in particular. These things are things that must be a part of who I am as I become more like Christ. Paul writes in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5 and verses 22 through 26, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Do you know, look at that list. Look at that list, and I want you to think about where God starts. Think about where God starts. He starts with love. Everything else follows love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want to be sure that I have crucified the flesh and that I am living in this way. If we live by the Spirit, we will also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. It begins with love, friends. It begins with loves. I will reach out to others this year. I will reach out to others this year in their time of need. I want to be helpful to those who are struggling spiritually and emotionally and physically. In Galatians 6, in verses 1 and 2, Paul tells the Galatians, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." I want to be able to bear your burdens this year. More than maybe I've ever done before, I want to be sure to do that this year. I want to bear your burdens with you, help you in that regard. Restore them in gentleness, realizing that you also can be tempted, you can sin, and you may need restoring as well. I know when I serve others, I serve Christ. In Matthew 25, we'll not turn over there and read that passage, but in Matthew 25 and verses 31 through 46, we have this parable that Jesus tells, and we have this judgment scene. And all the nations, all the people are before the judge and they're giving an account of their life. And we have those who claim that they've done all kinds of wonderful things in the name of Jesus, and he tells them to depart. And they're confused. And he says that it was because they had not done it to the least of these. And then those who are on the right hand, he says, enter in. And they, well, why? What have we done? And he says, all those things you've done, you have done to these, the least. You have done it to me. You see, serving others, that's what it's about. I appreciate that song this morning. It's about serving others. If I'm going to really serve God, I have to serve others. I've got to be concerned about them. I've got to care about them. And it's going to be shown in the kind of person that I am and the kind of life that I live and the work that I do. I want to always see others as more important than myself. And that is a challenge, isn't it? It is a deep challenge to see others as more important, because we have this idea in the United States that we are the people. We are better than anybody else. We are more powerful. We're stronger. Nothing can stop us. No, but God can. God can. And we need to be brought down a notch or two, you think? I think we need to realize what Paul says here in Philippians 2 and verses 3 and 4. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who went to the cross and died a miserable, horrible death, so that you could be free. That's the person I want to be this year. I want you to follow me in doing those very things this year. Be that kind of person who sees others as more important than yourself. I want to provoke love and good works among you. For this to be accomplished, you have to be a part of my thinking. You have to be on my mind, constantly remembering you in prayers. In Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us think about it. Let us contemplate how we're going to encourage others to be more loving. Yeah. Have you been thinking about that? I want to make sure that this year that I focus on this very thing, that I'm going to work at finding ways to cause others to be more loving. Doing more good deeds. Not forsaking the assembly. But encourage others. And encouraging others because the day of eternity is coming. It's coming. And we're going to stand accountable. I want us to be able to be accountable. And to hear God say, enter in, good and faithful servants. I want to be encouraging to my brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you all fools have been doing. I appreciate your texts. I appreciate your calls. I appreciate those things you do to encourage me. I certainly have been encouraged by the brethren here. And I am certainly thankful for every one of you. I want to be that encouraging person. I want to build you up in the most holy faith. I want you to be strong for the Lord. I want to encourage but I have to work at it. And that encouragement is going to be something I'm going to have to work at accomplishing. Romans 14 and verse 19 says, "So then let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." I have to work at it. The idea of pursue is run after that. I have to chase after it. It's got to be a dedicated part of my life if I'm going to do that. You see? We need to think about such things as this. I also intend to study and learn all I can of God's Word so that I can effectively teach others. And this will take effort on my part also. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul says, "Be diligent." In fact, the King James Version said "study." But I like the New American Standard, which says "be diligent," because that means I'm going to have to apply some effort. What was I reading? I listened to a thing last night. Cheryl and I were listening to something last night, and this gentleman was pointing out that the Bible, in which I already knew this, but that the Bible is the most sold book and continues to be the most sold book in the world and in the United States. And without a doubt, every household in this country has very likely at least one Bible. But one of the biggest problems is we are the most defunct when it comes to understanding and knowing the Bible. Do you realize that? We've got all of these Bibles and we just don't know what it says. We can't remember. And he says, but the reason we can't understand, and I've had people say, "Well, I just can't understand it." Well, did you ever read it? You see, that's what Paul's emphasizing here to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to examine it. You're going to have to put the effort in if you're going to understand it. God didn't make it like a first grade reader. See Dick and Jane. See Dick and Jane run. He didn't write it that way. There are some difficult things, but for the most part, it is fairly easily understood if you read it in its context. I must make most of every opportunity so that I can care must be taken, and I must make the most of every opportunity, but I also need to take care in how I speak. Colossians 4 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how that you should respond to each person." That's a tough job. It takes some of that spiritual wisdom. It takes some of that spiritual understanding. And we have to be diligent and apply ourselves in the best way. And although this says to those who are outside, I think it's talking about those who are not Christians, I think sometimes it also applies to Christians. We need to be careful how we speak to one another. What I learn, I must share with others so that they can teach others. That's the point that Paul makes in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 when he says, "The things which you have learned or you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." He simply says, teach others what I have taught you so that they'll be able to teach someone else. We're working on that, aren't we? Isn't that the purpose of our Bible studies, our sermons and those things? is so that we'll know what God's will is, so that we can share it with others, so that they can also teach someone else. I want to be able to, this year, make my life a light to guide others to Jesus. Only if my life is changed for Christ will it be a light that leads others to Him. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus says, beginning in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." See, it's not about glorifying me. It's about glorifying our Father who is in heaven. You are a light. Christians are to be light to the world. They need to see that we're Christians. They need to see it in the things we do. They need to see it in our behavior. They need to see it in the words that we use. That our life is not what it used to be, but it is different. There is a transformation taking place. It's not a one time that lasts for all time. It is a thing that continues to progress as we constantly change. In fact, the caterpillar doesn't metamorphosis in 5 seconds, does he? It takes a period of time for that change to take place. And then he comes out of the cocoon, out of the pupilla, transformed. The same thing's true with each one of us. We are constantly needing to change our lives, being transformed into the image of His beloved Son. That's why He's called us out of the world, that we might be a part of His kingdom and become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, God has told us that that changed life begins with obedience to Jesus Christ. Isn't that what He's saying there when Jesus says to the apostles before He departs from this world there in Matthew 28, and verses 18 or 19 and 20. When He said to them, and this also recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. When He says there to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Teaching them to observe all. That word "observe" there means to obey. Everything. Everything God has revealed is to be obeyed. That's the work that I must do in my life. If my life is going to be changed, if I'm going to encourage the change in other people's lives, then my life must be obedient to Jesus Christ. I also need to realize that this year, out of my abundance, I'm going to give liberally and cheerfully. And sometimes I need to be reminded about my attitude in giving. Sometimes I have to give myself a kick in the seat of the pants because my attitude about giving is not right. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Yeah, pretty obvious, isn't it? If you don't put the seed in the ground, you're not going to reap anything. The more seed you put in the ground, the more your crop is going to be, isn't it? That's an obvious thing. "And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart." This idea of purpose is to have determined. I must determine what I give. I'm going to have to think about it, aren't I? I'm going to have to spend some time contemplating my giving, what God has bountifully bestowed upon me and blessed me with. I don't want to do it grudgingly, he goes on to say, not grudgingly or under compulsion that I have to do this. God loves a cheerful giver who cheerfully gives. Gives not only of his time and money, but gives of himself. God has directed us about giving in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, let each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. As you prospered. That takes reflection, doesn't it? How has God prospered me? And sometimes I have to reflect on more than the paycheck I get. A long time ago, I finally came to the realization that what God had prospered me was more than the paycheck. It was also that they had taken out of it to give to the government. That was also part of my prospering. And I needed to collect that and to encourage and to engage that also in what I determined to give to God. But beyond that, God is doing things for me every day. He's given me life and health. As was said, a warm home. An automobile to drive from one place to another that's warm and comfortable. God's really prospered me, hasn't he? He's given me brethren like you. Not just in this place, but in many places throughout the world. God has truly blessed me. And I need to think about those things when I consider my giving back to him. This year I also want to live in such a way as to go to heaven. I want that to be my destination. I want that to be a primary thinking or a thought in my life as I try to serve God this year. My place is heaven, not here. This world is not my home. We sing that often, don't we? We sing that often in Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, beginning at verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory of Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else had a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, and he goes on to talk about that, what he had done and the things that he had benefited in. And then drop down with me. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of the faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's what I want this year to be a part of my life. And Peter describes that prize that Paul talks about here in 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It cannot be destroyed. It is there, and it is waiting for us if we will just make sure that we live in such a way as to go to heaven. And I finally want to think about this thing in my life this year. I want to always remember why I'm here. Why I'm here. You see, obeying God is what life is all about. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 13 and 14 when he said, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." That's what life's about. That's why I'm here. I'm here to obey God. I'm here to live in such a way that the world can see that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And God is looking for those who will be faithful. In Hosea 6 and verse 6, Hosea says, "For I delight," or God says, in Hosea writing, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice." Isn't that what he told Saul? Yeah. It's better to obey than sacrifice. Yeah. "And in the knowledge of God than in burnt offerings." Serving God faithfully. I want that to be a primary part of my life this year, because that's what kind of people God is looking for. And as Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, faithfulness is a lifelong commitment. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." As God is faithful, we are to be faithful in the same way. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes or no." They weren't fluctuating. We cannot fluctuate. Just as God is faithful, we must be faithful. And in fact, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and verses 14 through 30 emphasize that, don't they? We cannot take what God has provided us with and hide it in the ground. We must use it as those two faithful servants did. Notice that these three men are not equal in their abilities. But two of them found favorable responses by their master, because they took what God had given them, what their master had given them, and they used it to glorify Him. The other hid his and received condemnation. I don't want to be like that one. I don't want to be like that one. Question is, are you up to the challenges of 2024? Are you? Maybe you're not a Christian this morning. Maybe you're not a Christian, but you should be, because there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. And the only way into Jesus Christ is to be baptized into Him. And so if your life is not right with God this morning, then now is the opportunity. You have an opportunity right now to change that. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, that opportunity is yours now. If you need to just simply correct something with God and with the brethren here, that opportunity is yours now as we stand and sing the song that was selected.